Welcome to Roundhouse Roulette, a Walker, Texas Ranger podcast. I'm Evan Dalton, here with my brother Adam.
Hello.
And our brother from another mother, Mr. Bob Leahy.
Hey, man.
We bring you a very special bonus episode. Our guest today is Fort Worth, Texas native Mondo of the Talented Slackers podcast. The Slackers recently completed potting seasons 1 and 2 of Walker Texas Ranger, and we thought it would be fun to sit down with a fellow walkerologist to pour over their findings. Many of the main shooting locations took place in Fort Worth, and we're also hoping he can bring us some fresh insights as someone who has possibly had the chili at CD's and lived to tell the tale. What's going on, Mondo?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Glad to be on the show. Thank you for having me on.
Glad we could finally link up.
Yeah, definitely. I've been, been listening to you guys these last couple of weeks, so it's an honor.
I'm really sorry. All right, maybe we can embark on a little journey here with you. How did the Talented Slackers podcast actually get started?
Well, let me ask you this. If I were to say Steven Seagal made a perfect movie, what would be your first thought? That's exactly it right there. That's exactly it. So I have a friend out in Oakland who was doing a Van Damme podcast. And, awesome. He was talking about Van Damme as if he was, many of our childhood heroes. And I was always like, well, I love this movie Steven Seagal made called Out for Justice. So I was like, if that movie had been made today with Ben Affleck in Boston or Mickey Rourke in the 80s, that movie would have been a cult classic. So I was like, I want to do a podcast where I talk about the movies that I love that people hate and tell everybody why I like these movies and why I think they're perfect. And Out for Justice is the perfect You Killed My Partner movie.
Gotcha.
So that's how that started, And it was me and my brother and a friend of mine who's no longer on the show. We all three sat down, recorded on these snowball mics, and just had a lot of fun with it, And we just went on from there, doing high-octane action movies and then comedies here and there, Just that's how it all started, really. Just me wanting to talk about a Steven Seagal movie.
How many Talented Slackers are there?
Three officially. There's myself and Gilbert, who's my right-hand man. And then there's Cisco, who's Gilbert's friend. We became my friend now, too. But he's usually the guy that he's our barometer whenever we say something offensive.
He reels it back in.
Yeah. Or I hear him say, oh, Lord. And I'm like, okay, now I know where the line is at. So yeah, there's three of us, but we have my brother, he comes on every now and then, and then my brother-in-law Alex, who shows up every now and then as well. So there's really like five. There's a sixth one, a cousin who lives in California, but whenever he comes out here, he comes on.
Who is the guy on the Troll 2 podcast?
I think that was our guest, Aaron.
Okay, yeah. And he had tried to watch Troll 2 before watching it with you guys, and he watched the Trolls movie.
Yeah, that's Aaron. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah, I've been telling him to make his own podcast because he's pretty good.
Yeah, it was cool, man.
Yeah, that was a tough one to get through. Whenever I was researching it, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to get to Sunday to when we record so I can just rip it to shreds, And I was so happy doing that.
Yeah, that movie is pretty insane.
It is. Yeah. When's the last time you've seen that one?
Oh, man, I think the last time I saw it was right around when the documentary came out.
Okay.
Pretty insane.
Yeah, that was pretty. It was a pretty insane movie. Oh, boy, I saw that as a kid, and I was just like, oh, this is horrible.
Have you guys seen that?
No, I haven't. I'm ashamed to say.
I don't think I have. I think I've seen clips of it. Closest I've come is probably Ernest Scared Stupid.
I may have to do that one.
Yeah, that might have been a inspiration for Ernest Scared Stupid.
Probably.
So as far as your focus, what are the kinds of films and shows you focus on? You don't discriminate, or are you all for guts and glory?
At first, it was all about guts and glory. Arnold, Sly. Sly's my favorite. But, it was all about guts and glory. Now, yeah, we don't discriminate. We all have our own picks. I usually go with what I just watched maybe that week, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to pick this one. We're going to tear it to shreds. Like, I've got Truck Turner. I don't know if you ever heard of that one.
No.
Isaac Hayes movie.
Oh, no.
That one's on deck for me. And the other guys, they like to choose other stuff. I think Gilbert's going to pick Black Dynamite soon. And, you know, we just do whatever, you know, just whatever comes to mind or whatever we like. You know, a lot of times we like to do movies that we like to rip to shreds, but then we also like to do movies that we love.
Yeah.
You know, so just it's whatever. It's always up in the air.
I recently saw Big Trouble in Little China like a couple of years ago and was totally blown away. I went into it with zero expectations and was just, my jaw kept dropping.
Yeah, that was a crazy movie. We did that one too. I think we did that one twice. Yeah, because when Gilbert came around, it was kind of like a reboot sort of. Because we had done like 100-something episodes already. So when he came on, I was just like, you know what? Your views are pretty cool. We can go ahead and do other movies we've done already. So just, you know, do whatever, you know? And I think he picked Big Trouble in Little China to do again.
You can't say no to that.
No, not at all.
It's gold.
So you guys are currently adding the Batman 66 show in line with all the other stuff you're doing, right?
Right. Gosh, how did I come across that one? I was, we were about to finish up Walker, the box set of season one and two. And I was just like, you know, I don't mind jumping into the next season, but I was like, we need a little breather from Walker at the moment. And because the other thing too is if you were listening to the old episodes, whenever we'd see a guest star that was on Walker, I would say, you see this guy right here? You know, and it'd be like Danny Trejo or whoever. Yeah. I'd be like, you see that guy right there? That guy's had one heck of a career. He was on a little TV show called Walker, Texas Ranger, and we would play the theme song of Walker, of Chuck Norris singing.
Oh, okay.
And it was an ongoing bit that one day I was just like, you know, let's do a Walker podcast. And I was like, this is going to be my own personal journey, but if you guys want to join, come on. And, you know, that's how we did it. And then one day I was like, yeah, we need a breather. And then I was a little inebriated, and I saw Batman 66, and I was like, holy crap, this has got to happen.
Yeah.
You know, there was things that Robin was doing, and I was just like, oh, buddy, you are going to get slackerized. So that's how we came across that one, you know, and so far we're having a lot of fun with it. Me and Gilbert are just, it's like when Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan are fighting in Rush Hour. That's how I feel like we're taking on Batman 66. We're just beating the hell out of it.
Yeah, I've been following along with the Batman, so it's been fun. So.
Oh, man, my hate for Robin.
He is terrible. I mean,
yeah, I got a friend of mine. He's all like, it makes me laugh whenever you talk about Robin. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to amp it up then.
Yeah, that Robin is like totally on the spectrum.
Oh my gosh. There's been some moments where like, God, if I had a Robin and he'd say something like the last episode we did, he was all like, what comes in 12? And he's like, donuts. And it's like, I'd have that look. And I think I said it on the podcast where, I don't know if you remember Tombstone, where Michael Biehn's character shoots the priest at the beginning and Curly Bill kind of just turns like startled, you know, kind of looks at Johnny Ringo. That's his name. He looks at Johnny and he's all like, what the hell, dude? You know, that would have been me. Like, that's my look right there. Every time I hear Robin say something stupid, I'm like, dude, I'm just going to kill you. You know, just stop.
But he's always right.
Yeah, that's what I hate about him, too.
There's one episode where they make him go undercover as like a 1950s bad boy at a soda shop. And his cover's blown because they make him smoke a cigarette and he starts coughing. So they pretty much knew he was, you know, faking it. And then he's apologizing to Batman and Batman's like, oh, no, Robin, don't apologize. It's to your credit that you don't smoke.
Was that the Joker episode?
Oh, man, I don't remember. He's like, hey, Susie, baby.
Yeah, Susie Baby. I think he calls him Doll, too. Like,
so oh, gross. My God.
Yeah, you'll know that.
The next episode, we're doing Joker's, like, infiltrating the school or something. And like, I think Robin, I heard he's supposed to be wearing, like, a leather jacket. You know, that, like, you're just
that's
saying.
That's it. I think
that might be it. So I can't wait to do that one, then, for sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, similarities with Walker, too, really, right?
Yes. Yes, there is. I mean, the do-gooder hero and wooden acting, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the Boy Scout hero.
Yes.
Ugh. Who's always right and always has the answer, never loses.
And you've got, you know, the partner, you know, he's kind of the butt of all the jokes sometimes.
Yeah.
And you got the old man who's always there for them. Yeah. Alfred and Dee Dee.
Yep. And you have the mid-episode shakedown and then the all-out brawl at the end.
Oh, yeah. All that's missing is the bam and the pals and all that.
Or heterosexuality.
Well, I wasn't going to touch on that, but, you know, it was, yeah, there's some things on there. I'm like, oh okay, all right, sure.
He doesn't even try to cover for it. I don't know. Well, you can probably see from behind Adam, he's at no point in time is he ever more than 4 feet away from some form of Batman memorabilia. So Batman 66 is like one of the first things that went on Adam's wedding registries, actually.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. The Blu-ray came out the year we got married, so that was instantly on the registry.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. I think I got the first season for my birthday once and loved it. And then I was just like, yeah, it's got to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I also grew up watching, you know, the TV show when I was a kid. So seeing Michael Keaton play Batman in 89, I was like, wow, this is totally different. He can be dark.
Yeah.
He's not spraying a spray paint can on a shark.
Yeah.
Which we're also thinking about doing the movie as well before we move on to the second box set to Walker.
Yeah, man.
So we're probably going to do that one for sure.
Did I see you also do like film work as well?
Yeah, I did two short films. The first one is called Bobo, and the other one's called The Park. And The Park is a sequel to The Bobo. It's about a guy who goes on a date, messes it up. It's kind of autobiographical because I was at a store once and the lady says, would you like to donate to this so-and-so charity? And yeah. I was like, I did that last week. And she's like, oh, well, we just started this today. And I was like, oh, shit. So I paid, you know, I gave him, you know, I hate being that guy that says, no, I don't want to do it. Yeah. I hate being that guy. But I'm also like, yeah, gosh, I donate all the time. I go to a store, you know. So some guy in the back who was in line, he's all like, hey, buddy, can you hurry up? You know, and I was just like, yeah, here's $5, you know. So in the movie, the guy's out on a date and this girl's flirting with the waiter as well, which also happened. And, he's all like, oh, would you like to donate? And he's like, yeah, I donated last week. And the girl's all like, well, my dog has that sickness too, so why aren't you donating? And, you know, it kind of just all goes into a big quicksand problems for him on that. And he ends up killing her dog on accident whenever she brings him home. And then when they're at the funeral, they're at this cliff. He's there at the funeral. And crazy thing about that is my friend who co-wrote it with me, he was all like, well, I wrote that part of him being there as him saying an F you to her. And I was like, well, I saw it as like he still wanted to get laid. You know, like we're all about that, right? And so the movie, I made it, we finished it, and I took it to places to be viewed. And none other than my hero, Robert Rodriguez, bought the movie from me.
Oh, wow.
And he played it on his TV network, El Rey. And yeah, I did an interview and everything for it. It was really cool. And then the second one I did, it was a continuation. It was another date.
Okay, yeah.
And kind of goes a little haywire, too.
Awesome. Are those available to watch somewhere?
The first one isn't. Rob Rodriguez owns it, so I don't know what he's doing with it. The second one is on YouTube.
Okay.
If you go to Turtle Moon Films, you'll see it on there. It's called The Park.
Awesome. We'll have to check that out for sure.
It's fun. Just stuff that I was like, hey, I got some experiences. Let's go ahead and do this and that. You know, I've got a lot more in the can, you know, just waiting to film, you know?
Awesome, dude. Yeah. Using the time wisely here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've written a few scripts already.
Our script writing is pretty much limited to this podcast.
Yeah, there for a while, I wasn't writing anything because I was like, oh, I just want to do the podcast. I got different ideas to do this and that, you know, and I was even going to do a spinoff on The Shield, you know, with the podcast. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, oh, I got to write. I got to get some things out of me, you know?
Yeah, Totally.
It's I got some stuff written that's just like it needs to be made, but I'm afraid to ask people to work for free, especially in a time like right now, because I don't know if I would say yes if someone asked me to work for free for like a whole day, you know?
At the same time, this might be the perfect time to ask someone to work for free too. So,
well, thank you. I needed that.
Yeah. You know,
I'll probably start asking them.
Yeah, do it, man. Be like, hey, look, man, we've all got this time and let's just do this thing, bro.
Yeah, hey, there you go. Yeah.
You hearing this, Bob? Yeah. This is Adam's mindset.
Yeah. Bob, you're never getting paid.
I would hope not.
But no, yeah, I mean, that's a good way to do it. Let's end this crazy time with something new born out of this.
Yeah, we would have never done this podcast if it hadn't been for... We started this in late March, right?
Yeah.
We're like, guy's going to be home for a while, huh? Okay. Now's the time. Let's do it. Let's pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Walker podcast.
Exactly. So,
what made you guys want to do a Walker podcast? Well, what's the genesis on that?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess Evan and I, we're brothers and we grew up together watching it. So we've always kind of thought it was ridiculous. And then when the DVDs started coming out, we'd buy them. And the first one they put out was like the last season. So, which was right around when we were watching them, you know?
Okay.
So then I took those to college, the DVDs, and Bob and I actually watched them in college. So we'd go through the back of the DVD and be like, what's the most ridiculous sounding one? And pop it on and we'd watch it with a bunch of our buds. Since then, every time we get together, we're like, I guess we're going to have to watch Walker, right? Well, actually, you don't even say that. It's just a given.
Yeah. It's unsaid.
So kind of out of that, we're like, well, we got all this time, man, let's do this. We're stuck at home. Walker Texas Ranger podcast, you know, we got a copy of The Talented Slackers.
Well, you guys are you guys do it a lot better than we do, some, because we're always saying some off the wall stuff sometimes, especially me, you know. No. I had someone tell me the other day, they're like, you know, I love Walker Texas Ranger, but I can't listen to your podcast. I'm like, why? And they're like, because of the language. I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, well, I was like, you know me, I'm not really like that. It's just kind of like a character, so to speak, you know, just to make it interesting.
Yeah, man.
I feel like if I was being myself, I'd be like, Walker kicks him in the mouth. Walker does this. You know, you got to add some something, you know?
Yeah, a little chutzpah.
Yeah, you know, I mean... A lot of people listen to Howard Stern, and why not try to be like the man, you know?
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it was funny because you may have seen the other Walker podcasts that, like, there was one in, like, Europe, and yes, they have, like, British accents. And then there were some guys who were like, yeah, we're in a bunker under Chuck Norris's ranch. I was like, I think we can do this a little differently, you know?
Yeah.
That was kind of the goal. And then I didn't even know you guys were doing it because it's under your name. So right, then when we were on social media, I was like, oh, man, they're doing it too, which is cool, man.
Yeah, I think I saw y'all's too, and I was just like, I was like, who are these guys? You know, because I listened to the other two, and I heard theirs, and I was just like, you know what? We're the most qualified podcast to do that because that was filmed over here in our backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, damn it, it's going to happen. We're going to do this, you know? And then I saw y'all's and I was like, who are these guys? Let me listen to them. And I was just like, oh, these guys do bring it. You know, they're pretty good. You know, I was like, okay, I like that, you know? And I was just like, they're the good guys and we're the bad guys over here.
Oh, no, man, no.
Well, I like that you guys are watching it in real time. That makes it sort of more fun, particularly more fun if people had the episode right on hand and were able to watch it. For us, we end up overanalyzing the thing for 2 hours, and people end up spending way longer learning about the episode than they do actually watching it. Which, and since we're not watching it in real time, we might forget certain details or silly things that we would have been able to point out in real time.
Right. Yeah. Or the genuine reaction to him just laying waste to a bunch of people.
My gosh. That is my favorite part of our show is whenever I hear Gilbert and Cisco's reactions to what's going on. Because I'll watch them before I do the episode. I love being prepared for it. You know, that's one of the things I have to do. Because them two haven't watched the show since they were kids, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And so hearing their reaction, I'm like, watch this part right quick. And I just stay quiet and just wait for it, you know? And that's part of the reason why I love doing this with these two guys, is just seeing their reactions and everything and just see what they say, you know? Gilbert especially, he's just like, oh my gosh, look at that. And I'm like, oh, he had the same reaction I did.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we kind of like to keep it like three guys sitting on the couch watching TV and having fun, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I like to do it sometimes, you know, just make sure we keep it lively and everything. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, I tell, you know, friends of mine, and I say, hey, I have this podcast, you should check it out. They always immediately think that we watch it in real time. And I'm like, no, but that's probably a better idea. Don't tell Adam I said that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd like the approach.
I guess I was like, we have to, you know, have a podcast that people don't have to watch at the same time, because no one's going to link it up. That was my thing, you know. And mm-hmm. it's hard to do unless you have the DVDs. I mean, they just started streaming some stuff, but you've got to assume that most people are just going to be, I guess, listening along. Which, with you guys, too, it's fine just listening along to the way you guys do it as well.
Have you guys gotten the whole, I've never watched Walker before, but now I want to, you know, have you ever gotten that?
I've got it from one friend yeah. of mine, who actually I just talked to last night, that was like, he watched a few, and he's like, now I'm getting caught up, and and he's like, now I have to watch these, and I think he mentioned, he's like, well, maybe I don't really need to watch them. Because, I mean, they're strikes and gutters, right? Some of them are great. Some of them are just okay.
Yeah, the highs and lows. But that's the glory of it. That's what the best part is. So.
Yes, sir.
So as somebody who is moving in on 300 podcasts, do you have any tips for noobs like us or any wanna podcasters out there?
One of the things that I ran into, a problem that I ran into, I was like, man, nobody's listening. Because I used to post it on Facebook all the time. And you know, at first, everybody's like, oh, that's great. But what's a podcast? And I'm like, okay, let me tell you what it is. It's kind of like talk radio, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first, everybody's like, oh, real supportive and everything. But after a while, you know, everybody does their own thing. I always say, don't get discouraged. You know, do it because you love it. You know, not to get listens or whatever. Because I used to get so mad. I'd be like, oh, man, nobody's listening. You know, what's going on? But, you know, I looked at some of the stats. You know, it's like, it's not, you know, like Kevin Smith's podcast numbers or nothing like that. You know, it's like been catching on. And I'm like, well, let's see. This one got 50 plays or whatever. That's 50 people who press play on your podcast.
Yeah.
It's like that. That's fine with me. You know, now I'm like, hey, if people listen to it, awesome. If people buy the box set to Walker, awesome, you know, or if people watch the movie because what we said about it, that's awesome. The best thing I can say is do it because you love to do it. After almost 300 episodes, I'm still like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to do another episode, you know?
Yeah.
So it's still fresh for me. I still love it. You just got to love doing it.
I think that's solid advice.
Just do it because you love to do it, you know, not because of plays or you think it's going to make you famous or anything, you know. If it does, cool, but I think I'd probably be canceled right away if you got famous.
Well, speaking of maybe sort of tenuous starts, you guys just polished off seasons 1 and 2, but it's really essentially season 1 with a pilot tacked on in the front, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm pretty jealous because I consider that like pretty fantastic Walker. And we really have only had, I think, only one episode so far randomly selected from, I think, season 2. So I'm wondering if you maybe were able to recognize some themes in the first couple seasons, or maybe give us some warnings or pointers as far as what we can expect.
Lots of freeze frame endings of Walker and them laughing at Trivette. That's a big thing. Big theme I've been noticing.
We love the freeze frame.
Yeah,
we love it.
Yeah.
We live for it.
And you know, one of the things that's very comforting about that is that because we just did an episode on Tony Scott, and he once said that whenever things go correctly on his movie, or if he loves the way the movie was cut, he'll end it with a freeze frame. So every time I see a freeze frame at the end of Walker, I'm like, this movie was made with love, you know? You know, so that's real comforting every time I see that. And what are the themes that we've noticed? Oh my gosh, I wish I had Gilbert here too. But there's always a lot of butt kicking, but with a lesson after each one. I don't know. It's Chuck Norris is a different type kind of guy, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, like, the fine line the show tries to walk between insane action show to some sort of moral lesson, but it'll get to, like, a Christian lesson at the end of the series, you know?
Oh,
he
yeah.
goes from, like, Cherokee all the way up to full-on Christian by the end. There's kind of, like, this intersection.
Yeah, he's trying to use the best of both worlds, and I think you guys did an episode with the Forest Warrior.
Yeah, Rainbow Warrior.
Yeah, the Rainbow yeah. Warrior, and I'd mentioned to you guys, like, yes, I think they were trying to knock off Steven Seagal's movie On Deadly Ground, because that movie was supposed to be called Rainbow Warrior.
Oh, wow. Okay, we didn't even know that.
And that was just, yeah, believe me, I used to love Steven Seagal's early movies like no other. And they were going to call it that, but I guess, you know, they were like, no, keep it the three title name, you know, and but it was just like Chuck Norris is doing this. And every now and then on the episodes, we'll be like, so this came out before this movie. Are they copying Walker? Got to be, man. Why, yeah. why the hell not?
I can imagine Steven Seagal sitting at home in the mid-90s and flipping on the TV and seeing Chuck Norris kicking butt on TV and him being like, I could do that.
Oh, yeah. Did you see he had a TV show at one point, too?
When he's a cop?
Well, yeah.
That was more recently, but...
Not the reality show. It was one called True Justice.
Okay.
And it was like it tried to be like The Shield and Walker at the same time.
Oh, man.
It's like he had his own strike team and everything, but he was also on there and he was like delivering his own little beliefs and everything. And it's just like, oh, it's kind of like Walker, Texas Ranger. Yeah, I've already seen that. Thanks, Steven.
Have you heard, I mean, as a Steven Seagal fan, have you seen some of the videos of him laying down some sweet blues?
Yes, I have. And I have some of the songs. That's all I'm going to say about that.
So you are like one of the few people that has his CD. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, no, yes, whatever.
Autograph?
No, I don't have an autograph.
So is he a better bluesman than Bruce Willis?
Oh, gosh. I've heard one song of Bruce's, and it's like Under the Boardwalk.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
And it was like, I kind of like this song. This one's all right, you know? And I showed it to a friend of mine. He's like, what the hell did you just have me listen to? I was like, that's John McClane, man. That's Bruno.
Speaking of which, have you seen the new Die Hard commercial?
I did. I was a little disappointed. I was like, oh, are we getting another Die Hard? That's awesome. And then that happened. I was like, oh, okay.
Clarence Gilliard's back, man.
Yeah, I did like that. I did like that. And and it's funny. I think it was Cisco or Gilbert. They were like, hey, wasn't he in Die Hard? And I was like, yeah, man, that's Trebet, man. You know, like, and whenever I watch Die Hard, every time I see Clarence Gilliard, I'm like, man, that's Trebet, man. He's gotten cooler in Walker.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know, we love the way he transitioned from computer nerd to cool Texas guy.
And he's still a computer nerd on the show. Apparently, like, whenever, you know, Walker has any trouble with computers, Trebet's his guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to do an Alta Vista search.
When Trebet brings out his laptop, I think Gilbert calls it a box of donuts. Because if you look at it, it's as big as a box of donuts.
It's the, like, white box computer.
Yeah.
How many times did Walker throw the box of donuts in a garbage can throughout season two?
Oh, my gosh. I'd say at least 5 times. I think he even threw it out while he was driving at one point.
And how many times did Walker have a bunch of goons go in the back of his open bed of his pickup truck?
Gosh, I want to say like 2 or 3, 2 or 3 times. And then there was one where he just stood behind it. He's like, all right, guys, you know what to do. Yeah. It's like they already know.
They know his instructions. They're like, if Walker arrests you, just submit and sit patiently in the back of his pickup truck while he drives you to jail.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't try to escape.
Yeah, we saw that in Blown Apart, actually.
So that was a few more seasons later, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, I got to bring it up. Trevette Speedo, what do you got?
Oh, boy. That was something to see. And seeing the guys' faces whenever they saw that, they were it was like, what is this, you know? like, come on, let's go on to the next scene, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to introduce a character.
And he was drinking that juice, that vegetable juice. Like
green juice?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite episode from seasons 1 and 2?
Not exactly, but I do have a favorite episode.
Period?
Yeah. I'm trying to say it sincerely because the other guys laugh, but it's the one with Haley Joel Osment.
Oh, no. Lucas.
Okay. Now, I saw what they did on Conan, you know, the whole Walker told me I have AIDS. And yes, I had the same reaction as well as Conan did. And I shared it with friends and everything. And I was like, all right, I'm going to watch this episode again, you know, because I hardly remember because I saw these shows when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing, too, is every Saturday night when that show would come on, we would either record it or we'd all sit in front of the TV and just watch it. You know, my dad was a big Chuck Norris fan. A lot of people said my dad kind of looked like Chuck Norris because he had the beard. He was very light-skinned, and he also knew karate. So everybody was like, oh, your dad's Chuck Norris. So that's part of the reason why I hold on to Walker. But I remember watching that episode recently, and I was just like, this is actually kind of sad. You know, you got Brian James, who's the bad guy, who I guess he kept Haley Joel Osment in the closet he ended up getting AIDS. My son was like 5 years old when I saw this, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. But as the episode went on, it was a two-parter, you know, they killed the bad guy. And then at the end of it, there's Haley Joel Osment in a coffin. And I was just like, I really wanted to start crying. You know?
Oh, no.
And it was this is the one episode that got me, that gave
got
me
your
the
heartstrings.
Wow. Yeah. And I was just like, I shouldn't be saying this about a Walker Texas Rangers episode, but like, man, this one got me.
Your softer side was brought out by a Walker Texas Ranger episode.
It was. And you know, I'll never repeat that story.
Yeah, we'll definitely leave that in for you.
All right, there you go.
Bob was listening to your episode on Skyjacked when we were going through the DVDs. That was when we thought was one of the best Walker episodes, Skyjacked.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, the whole plot is them taking a convict on an airplane and then the convict taking over the plane. And it's kind of a slow burner until the last back half of it, and it just explodes in your face.
Yes. He fights the bad guy at a mall, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the part where I was just like, because there's a part where Chuck is all like, all right, I'm going to knock you out, you know? And then there's just like, oh, he's just showing off for the crowd that's watching the fight, you know? Because when they were filming over here, there was a big crowd just watching the scene. It was the One Riot, One Ranger episode when Trivette is picking up his eyeglasses. Like he beats up a bad guy and then he picks up the eyeglasses, and then the original CD tells him, hey kid, you know, you did good, blah, blah, blah. We were all watching that, and Chuck Norris's stunt double, I think it was his brother or someone that looked exactly like him. I think it was his brother. He was standing to the side and everybody was like, oh, there's Chuck. And, you know, he kind of was playing up to it too, you know, smiling and you know, waving everybody. That's not Chuck. That's not Chuck at all. But Clarence Gilliard, I saw him there, and you know, we're all just watching this, and he's fighting the bad guy, and he's doing his thing to look good. So every time I see a scene where Walker's fighting someone and a crowd is around him, it's like, oh, he's playing it up. You know, he's doing his thing for the crowd.
Man, so you were actually saw some of the pilot being filmed?
I did, yes.
Oh, wow, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I want to say about 11 or 12 when that was happening.
Crazy.
And yeah, wow. It was pretty cool. It was like one of the biggest things that hit Fort Worth over here. You know, there was like, oh, they're filming Walker over here, the new Chuck Norris show. So, of course, you know, we went out and saw some of the filming.
That's killer.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, you know, and everybody around here has a story about the show, too. Mm-hmm. Everybody's all like, oh, yeah, they filmed that over here. They filmed that here. Everybody I know has a Walker story to tell.
That's your Walker story?
Yeah, that's my Walker story, and it's been in my heart forever.
Were any of your dad's friends or anyone you know's parents cast as bad guys with plaid shirts or like crazy mullets and dad jeans and the one prop Uzi?
No, I have a lot of friends who say that their friends were on the show or their house got blown up for the show.
We're going to buy your house and then blow it up.
Yeah, wow. It was one of those things like, I think it was this one couple, they said that they were going to sell their house, and then NBC or whoever it was that was doing the show, they contacted them and said, hey, you know, we're doing an episode of Walker. You mind if we blow it up instead? And they're like, yeah, sure, you know. So, yeah, that's how some of that happened.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. What do you think about their depiction of Latino gangs? Is it accurate?
I'll tell you this. I'm definitely not one of those people that gets all riled up of how Latinos are depicted in movies, unless it's a very horrible depiction, like we're nasty or poor or anything like that. But let me tell you something. Growing up over here in Fort Worth, yes, those gangs were around. Okay. And they did make some people's lives a little horrible. Like the new Rambo movie that just came out, everybody's like, oh, it's a MAGA movie. And it's like, well, I kind of wish someone like Rambo would go out there and do that with some of these cartel guys. So let's not kid ourselves. There are people like that out there.
Yeah.
So, but there was an episode of Walker where I forgot what the name of their gang was. But I was like, I never thought I'd live to hear Chuck Norris say that in Spanish. And it was the name of that gang. I think like the Vatos Locos or something like that.
Yeah, we just did that one. Yeah.
The crazy dudes.
Yeah. The crazy.
Yeah.
The acting's horrible, though, from the gang members, though. But that's how it is, man. I got no problem with that. It's like, hey, yeah, kick their asses. Do whatever you got to do.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, we had to count how many times they said Holmes and SA and all that stuff, because that seems a little extreme.
Believe it or not, that's how they talk.
All right.
that's how those gang members talk over here. You know, it's like I get called home sometimes, and I'm like, oh, hey, I didn't know I was in your gang. You know, okay, wow. They'll call me Holmes or SA, you know, or the new word everybody's using now is way. In Spanish, it means like stupid or something, but that's the word some of these guys use now a lot over here.
So we'll probably see that in the reboot of Walker, right?
Oh, boy. Probably. But they're filming in Austin, so, I mean, I don't know. Because Austin is a different world over there.
When we come back, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk Walker, Texas Ranger filming locations with this Fort Worth, Texas native. Don't go away.
Well, fancy meeting you here, little partner. I see you eyeing my Ram pickup. You certainly have an eye for the finery. We here at Roundhouse Roulette are powered by a love of pure, unadulterated Walker Texas Ranger of a kind found only in a white buffalo's tears. Paired with a camaraderie of listeners like you, it's been a blast following Walker's adventures thus far. As you likely surmised, Dodge is not yet one of our sponsors, so if you'd like to lend us a hand in growing the podcast to new ridiculous heights, please share us with a friend or leave us a kind review on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to further help us take it to the streets, we recently added some fresh new merchandise at roundhouseroulette.com. Or for as little as a few bucks a month, you can help us bring the podcast to you every week on our Patreon page. Membership levels range from Criminal Mastermind to Texas Ranger and promise further Walker content, perks, and antics. All these things help us to cover editing, artwork, blogs, and web hosting, and further our goal of delivering the light of Walker to the world. Most importantly, though, thank you for listening and making this crazy journey of ours worthwhile. But enough of my yakking. I've got a hankering for some of that savory bar and grill chili. Let's get back to the show.
And we're back. Our guest today is Mondo of the Talented Slackers podcast. As we mentioned, many of the filming locations on Walker, Texas Ranger are located in Fort Worth, not Dallas.
I mean, as you let us know, there's some Fort Worth and Dallas beef. There's got to be some Fort Worth, Austin beef too, right?
Austin is the cousin that we don't bother. You know, we're like, oh, yeah, he's cool. He's cool. You know, if you want to go do different things, go over there, you know? So that's like our California over there.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And Dallas is our, like, oh, you're here? You know, it's like, You just had to be related to us, didn't you? You know, that's how we feel about Dallas. When, you know, I say DFW, you know, I'd like to say the Metroplex, you know, because that's what they also call us over here. But when they say DFW, I'm like, it's more like FWD, you know, we're, you know, we're better, you know. But it's just Dallas is a little bit crazy. The traffic sucks out there. It's not as nice as Walker, Texas Ranger, makes it out to be. But, you know, they've got their own thing out there. They got the Mavericks and everything. But Fort Worth is just a little bit more calmer.
Is that like 30 minutes from Dallas?
Yeah, I would say so on a good day.
No traffic.
Yeah, no traffic. Yeah, about 30 minutes.
Yeah, because they talk about like Walker driving to CDs, which in the show is in Fort Worth, at least right. Canon. So he's driving back and forth all the time. And I was always like, okay, is this even possible? But I guess that makes sense.
Well, see, the thing is with that is that the courthouse that they film at, you know, the main one where Alex and everybody just comes out of, that's in Fort Worth.
Okay.
That I actually got married there. And and it's funny, I mentioned on one of the episodes, I proposed to my ex-wife on top of a parking garage where we could see the moon and everything. It's weird. And then we got married at that courthouse, and I got divorced across the street from the courthouse. So it's everything you need to get married and all that is right there.
Oh, wow.
One-stop shop.
Yeah, the courthouse is in Fort Worth. It's literally like, you know, if you were here, we'd be at the courthouse in like less than 7 minutes. And CD's bar is down on Main Street, which is like maybe about 5 minutes away from the courthouse. But there's been some times on the show where I'm like, they had to have teleported to have done that right there. Because there's a moment in the second season when Walker's chasing a bad guy. You see the Dallas skyline. And then the next shot, they're on Main Street in Fort Worth. I was just like, that could not have happened. That definitely could not have happened. So that's what I love seeing, the geography of it too.
What the devil are the Fort Worth Stockyards?
The Stockyards is one stretch of road. It's for all the tourists. You want to get yourself a good steak, you can get one at Cattleman's, and it'll cost you about $60. You know? And because, you know, we recently went, me and my brother and my son, we went and had ourselves a steak. And I was like, don't charge me these tourist prices. You know, I was like, right? Come on, we used to go to Texas Roadhouse and get a steak as big as this for $20 and just as good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tourist area. You know, it's just one long stretch of road. They got the Fort Worth Motel that's also haunted by Bonnie and Clyde, supposedly.
Oh.
You know, it's like right across the street from CDs. It's pretty cool, you know, and it's just, it's not as long a road as Walker, Texas Ranger makes it out to be. It's like literally maybe a quarter mile.
You guys were saying that a lot of stuff was filmed there, just in the Stockyards.
Oh, yeah.
And we've seen a lot of the back alley of CDs. Do you think it's the same, the real back alley or somewhere else?
There's one where CD gets beat up by a bunch of dudes. And yeah, they did film that there.
Okay, so that is the actual exterior of...
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, because he was like taking out the trash one time. He got like sandbagged. And then he was like getting Christmas ordinance in this other episode in the back alley. We're like...
And he got run over by the Vatos Locos.
That's right.
That's all
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, Merry Christmas, Way. That's probably what they say now. But there's one where it was about a kidnapper. He's picking up trash at a carnival behind CDs. And yeah, it's all there.
Mm.
They even filmed Prison Break over here as well. There's like a bunch of abandoned buildings. And it was Prison Break season 3. And it was supposed to be in South America. And it's all right there, right next to the Stockyards. And that big old back alley part is huge. Like you'd never guess it'd be this huge.
So they were like, hey, we've got this kind of like, you know, tourist trap street that we can film in. And then we can just go to like industrial zone in 2 seconds. Oh, yeah. And the courthouse is right down the street.
Literally like 2 seconds. Like it's like, hey, let's go to site B. And it's right there. You know, you just go take a little walk and that's it. You're there.
So the White Elephant Saloon, that's what CDs is, right? That's the name of it?
Yes, White Elephant.
Have you ever sauntered up to the bar?
I have not yet. But that's just something, one of those things where I'm like, man, how can I like Walker and not go in there? You know?
Yeah.
But it's only because there's a lot of tourists and you know, me being from here and all living my whole life here, I'm kind of impatient to some tourists.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's like, oh my gosh, guys, it's just a cowboy hat. Move on, you know? But they have a Risky's barbecue place, which is really good, by the way. That's the only time I ever go down to Stockyards is when I go eat there with, you know, my brother-in-law or whoever. The rest of the place is like, yeah, it's cool, but it's also tourist prices, so we can go somewhere else. We just leave all that to the tourists, really.
It's kind of like Broadway here in Nashville. You only go down there when people are in town, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam and I grew up right next to Plymouth, Massachusetts, so it's very similar.
Oh, really?
Downtown Plymouth has the Plymouth Rock and all that stuff, so also tons of tourists.
Plymouth Rock landed on you, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's got a big crack in it. Someone just recently threw paint all over it. It's good man. Stuff. Tis the season, man.
Jeez.
I wonder how many people actually go there and actually recognize it as CD's Bar and Grill.
I think it was Cisco that said that the exterior is definitely the CD's Bar and Grill, but the inside was actually filmed on a set. You know, I didn't even think about this. I had a friend who was on the, I think it was the first episode with the little kids of the orphans, I believe. And, you know, Walker has to ride a bull or something for the kids.
Oh, right. I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And my friend, his name is, we call him Gomez. He was the little Hispanic kid with glasses. I remember talking to him about that because he told me that his sister was on the show Barney as well, because they filmed that over here too.
All right.
Yeah, don't ask me about that though. They were little actors and he got on the show and he told me that he went back into that bar and it doesn't look the same.
That was the episode where Trivette was the rodeo clown, right?
Yes. They both jumped towards the camera in a freeze frame, too.
Yeah, that is a sweet freeze frame.
And it's also Chuck Norris' stunt double, if you notice.
Oh, no. I can't wait to get to that one. That's gonna be awesome.
And if you watch that one, the bad guy is Marshall Teague.
Is he in a few of them or no?
Yeah, he's in a few of them. And he was also in Armageddon. He was one of the pilots to, I think it was the Independence crew. He's the one that says, oh, my God, this is it. Right before their ship crashes into the debris, he actually lives around here. And my brother-in-law knows him because of where he works. And he said that he told Marshall Teague, he said, I watched that episode where you fight Chuck Norris. He's like, come on, you could have given him a better fight, right? And Marshall Teague says, well, you got to understand, it was Chuck Norris's show. Right. So he's like, so I had to abide by what they said. And he said that him and Chuck would spar every now and then, and that he'd give him a run for his money.
Oh, well, wow.
He faced off against Swayze in Roadhouse.
Yes. That nice. Was fun. We did that movie, and that was fun.
Oh, yeah. That movie is also one that seems innocuous when you first get into it and is so over the top and awesome.
Isn't it? Oh, my gosh. We had a lot of fun with that episode right there, you know. It was great to watch Roadhouse.
Well, Patrick Swayze's character is, his name is Dalton, so that's our last name. Gotta love that.
I always thought of him as a Bruce Lee type of guy. Like, if Bruce Lee was still alive, he would have played that part. Mm. You know, like, he's a philosophy major and all that. Yeah, he's don't fight unless you have to kind of thing. And I was like, that's Bruce Lee, man.
But you mess with him, he'll rip your throat out.
That's right.
Yeah. You watch the show Parks and Recreation?
No, but gosh, everybody tells me I should.
There's a scene where Chris Pratt's character, who's like this bumbling guy, is trying to entertain people, and he basically just recounts action movies, and his recounting of Roadhouse is nothing short of epic.
Oh, wow. I gotta watch that then.
Yeah, I was like not, like, I watched the first few episodes of Parks and Recreation. I was like, oh, this show is terrible. It's like a ripoff of The Office, which is good. So I didn't power through, but when you guys were down here, Bob, you were telling me, oh, no, you got to power through. It kind of grows on you, but it's got some funny stuff in it.
The first season kind of blows, too. Even the second season. I think, yeah, it takes a while.
And now when all you've got is time, right?
Right.
Now, yeah. Now's the time to give it a chance.
Now's the time to catch up on your stories.
Sure, sure.
I just finished Justified, and I also watched Stephen Dorff's Deputy. Hmm. So I was like, okay, you know, these guys are kind of like Walker, but with an edge. like, what is the new Walker going to bring that's fresh?
Man drama.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, what are your thoughts on the new reboot?
I like the guy, Jared Padalecki. I watched five seasons of Supernatural, which is a, you know, wasn't a bad show. You know, I liked it. I watched that last episode they did, the series finale, which wasn't bad. You know, I like the other guy, the plays his brother. It's like, that guy is just a star in the making, you know. But Jared, you know, is like, that's kind of weird, him playing Walker, Texas Ranger. Like, he's not my first choice.
But if they move it to Austin, it makes sense, right?
You know, since you put it that way, yeah, it does. That does make a lot of sense.
They're keeping Walker weird.
That's a perfect way to put it. Because seriously, I can't think of anyone that could play a Chuck Norris type of guy. You know, like,
honestly, they should have just taken the guy that played Arrow and made him Walker. Done.
Oh, the Canadian guy.
Yeah, I guess he's Canadian.
I think he's Canadian. I don't know, but
at least, yes, at least he's got the build for it.
Yeah, believe it or not, I this is going to sound weird, but I wrote a remake script to Lone Wolf McQuaid. I wrote I wrote 15 pages, and everybody was always asking me, like, well, who would you get to play JJ McQuaid? And I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, it would be tough. Like, for a minute there, I was thinking, you know, that guy Taylor Kish from Friday Night Lights, the TV show.
Oh, I don't know.
And Battleship. I was thinking about him, but I was just like, man, he's too handsome to play that part. We need someone rugged, you know, who feels that? Yeah. And it's like, I can't think of anyone, not, at least not that I can think of.
Yeah, there's no, like, real men's men out there anymore, you know?
No.
Shoulder hair is so out of vogue now.
Right? And I was thinking, you know, maybe Tim Olyphant, but he's already played, you know, the Raylan Givens character in Justified. You know, but other than that, I'm like, I don't know. I just want to get this out of my system, you know? That's why I wrote the 15 pages, and I was just like, yeah, I got that out of my system. That it's just a small little script. You know, we'll see whatever becomes of that.
Awesome. So you're rebooting Lone Wolf McQuaid?
I had an idea to remake it, yeah. Okay. And it was just one of those, like, I just want to get this out of my system and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do it. It wouldn't be prudent otherwise. I wanted to ask, we hit a few locations that I think are real in some of the episodes. I just want to, free association.
Okay.
Blue Cat Blues.
Blue Cat, I think some of those are made up.
Like, this one I think was a real club, like a blues club. Like, I looked it up, but it's closed now, so. But I didn't know if you had known anything about it, so.
No, a lot of times when we watch the episodes, we'll see the name of a club or whatever, and we'll GPS it and see if it's still there. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we'll come up to an empty lot. Yeah, that's basically the whole Walker thing, because it was like 93, 94 through 2000, whenever these shows were being filmed. So, yeah, there's a lot of places on that show that's just not there anymore.
This one was, like, it looks like the location looked like it might be different from when it was on the show, but it had the best name. It was the Velvet E, otherwise known as the Velvet Elvis.
Oh, my gosh.
And it looks like it's in, like, a strip mall now, but it looked like it was in some cool old theater when it was filmed for Walker.
Sounds like a strip club to me. The first episode, the One Riot, One Ranger.
Yeah.
I could tell you, except for where Walker lives, like all the banks that they robbed and everything, I was like, oh, that's that place. Or there's that catwalk that connects this building to that building, you know? It's all like all that. That first episode, I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is seriously my backyard.
That is awesome.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah. They film out in the country a lot too, like in Decatur and places where there's so much land out there, you know, and it's just like that could be anywhere in Texas, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah, we're not lucky enough to have crazy things filmed in our backyard usually, so.
No. Well, at least you got Plymouth Rock. I mean, Malcolm X talked about it.
Plymouth Rock is like such a disappointment. Well, they didn't even land there.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, they landed out on like the tip of Cape Cod, like 40 miles away. And then they stole all the corn and stuff from the tribe out there. So they were driven off of there and then ended up coming into the harbor and landed somewhere in Plymouth.
Oh, wow.
but there is that rock there that, that you know, someone chiseled 1620 into, and there's like a pit that you look down into it, and there's like cat litter spread out around it down at the bottom of the pit.
And they have this ridiculous, like, huge, maybe 40-foot wide, like, marble pagoda all around it.
Oh, so really?
It looks like something crazy important. And then you look down, and it's like this rock that's... Like, our grandmother, it didn't used to have that pagoda. Our grandmother had a piece of the rock. You used to go down and just, like, chip a piece of it off.
Oh, geez.
But they've since moved it, and when they moved it, it cracked in half. It's like, it's just like, it's, I don't know. It's pretty underwhelming to say the least.
At least it's not like New Hampshire with the old man in the mountain whose nose fell off. So.
Don't bring
that
up.
That's where Bob's from.
Yeah, that's still a pretty touchy subject.
Really? Yeah. Well, yeah, they're starting to get rid of a lot of statues and, you know, monuments over here as well. So I'm expecting all that to go away here in the next 10 years, actually. Yeah. You know, it's just like, I don't know what to tell you on that.
Yeah, you're thinking that there's going to be like a black market for Confederate statues?
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, definitely.
That's a Walker episode waiting to happen right there. That could be in the new Walker.
Oh, yeah, I believe
you should
it.
Get in touch with
let's
the writing
get started
staff.
On a script for that, and let's get that submitted ASAP to these guys.
That's true. I can imagine like the main villain of the show having one of those stereotypical Walker Texas Ranger villain mansions, and he's got like a swimming pool, and all around his swimming pool are just like, you know,
Confederate statues.
Yeah, and at the end of it, Walker fights the bad guy, and they end up kicking some of the statues. They fall and break. You know, they shoot some of the statues on accident.
He's got a roundhouse kick one of their heads off.
Yeah,
and it flies into a bad guy.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I'm into that.
Well, you could get that Teague guy back to reprise his character in the new Walker, because Chuck Norris is going to.
Oh, my gosh, they have to.
Yeah.
You know, the most of those guys on the Walker shows, some of the bad guys, they're all based out of Austin as well.
Oh, okay.
There is a few bad guys that keep coming back. Like one guy, the actor's name is Blue Deckard.
Oh, we've seen him in a couple episodes.
Yeah. He was in the show Friday Night Lights as well. Friday Night Lights was filmed in Austin as well.
Okay.
And it's Blue Deckard and the guy who plays Buddy Garrity on the TV show Friday Night Lights as well. He's also on a lot of Walker episodes. I wouldn't be surprised if they show up in the new show.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it a fair shake.
Me too. I definitely will, but it's also like, hey, took it away from Fort Worth. I guess I got to be cool with it.
I mean, I have to imagine they're going to take martial arts out of it as well, which is kind of one of the most amazing things about Walker is just how inexplicably a Texas Ranger also just knows like martial arts, and half of the main villains, you know, they just dabble in martial arts.
Yeah. They get the fighting stances and everything, and it's like, oh, this guy knows Taekwondo. Okay.
Yeah. I have to ask you, though, in Texas, is there just sort of a standing rule like, okay, if cops come in and bust you, you just got to, you know, you got to submit. But if a Texas Ranger comes in to bust you, like, there's hand-to-hand combat first. You'll never be arrested for assaulting a police officer. And if you win, you get away. That has to be what's going through everyone's mind. Because as soon as the Rangers show up, people just try to beat them up.
Well, they break beer bottles and then just go
there's,
to town.
There's still law officers, right?
Let me tell you something. When a Texas Ranger comes into your house and you beat him up, that is something to brag about.
So it's bragging
rights.
So
that's why. That's why people, makes sense.
Yeah, I would gladly go to jail afterwards, but I'd be telling everybody, hey, I beat the Texas Ranger up. And I get street cred, okay? I'd be Scarface.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
No, but you know, actually, you know, tell you the truth, you know, with Texas over here, especially with the way the country's been going, a lot of Texans over here really, really respect the blue.
Yeah,
so if we saw a Texas Ranger, but yes, sir, no, sir, unless you're high on meth. Then I don't know what to tell you.
Well, then you might be in a Walker episode.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, except it wouldn't be called meth. It would be called something like Black Cheetah or something.
Or Silk.
Yeah, super drugs. Super drugs.
Yeah, were there any super drugs in season one?
Not that I remember. The craziest thing I remember from season one was that it was like they put this bomb inside this bug-looking thing, and Walker throws it out the window and everything, and it blows up his office or something. And that was like the weirdest thing I remember seeing. Then again, oh my gosh, we did so many episodes, and it's just like they all kind of run together at some points.
Plus, you've seen pretty much all of them in your lifetime, too. So.
Yeah, I did. I did. So do y'all like the whole joke in Talladega Nights when he names his kids Walker and Texas Ranger?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. I got in trouble for this because the night that Walker premiered, we were going out to go do something, the whole family. And my dad told me to leave a tape in the VCR to record it with. So when I press record, when we got back, we started playing back the movie. It was Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Oh, no.
So whenever on Talladega Nights, whenever she says, if we wanted sissies, we would call them Dr. Quinn and Medicine Woman. And I got the joke because I think, you know, whatever network Walker was on, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman was on the other network playing at the same time.
Yeah.
So whenever she said that, believe me, I just could. That was the only person in the theater laughing my ass off. And I was just like, I get that joke. And my friend was like, what's so funny? I was like, I recorded an episode. And he was all like, what the hell are you talking about, man? And I was like, I'll tell you after the movie. I can't talk during the movie.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely were grounded after that.
I kind of was, you know, because that seriously, Walker Texas Ranger was a big thing to us Fort Worthans over here.
And so did you do karate when you were growing up?
I did. I was in there till, gosh, I was like 8 till 13. And then that's when I started playing football. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So I would assume that, you know, Chuck Norris, if he's in the area, he's going to swing by some local dojos, right?
Oh, probably not anymore. But yeah, he.
At the time, maybe.
At the time, yeah, maybe. That would have been really cool to have seen him come to our dojo because my uncles own a karate dojo.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I got into it. My dad did karate for his whole life. And so I got into it because of him. But then when football came around, I was like, I like football more, you know. Mm-hmm. My other uncle loved Bruce Lee, though. And it's crazy. I'm really not kidding you here. The way my uncle has his haircut and the way he looked, people either say he looks like Jackie Chan or Bruce Lee. And my dad, who is very light-skinned, looked a lot like Chuck Norris. So me and my cousin, we would always go back and forth. We'd always be like, Chuck Norris would kick his ass. And they're like, oh no, Bruce Lee beat him up in that movie. And I was like, yeah, that was a scripted fight. He was the hero of that movie, so he had to lose, you know? So we would always go back and forth. I was like, what do I need Chuck Norris for? I got the real Chuck Norris here at home. Yeah. And, you know, Bruce Lee, too. I was always like, oh, I don't really need to watch his movies. You know, my uncle's Bruce Lee, you know?
You got the real Turbo Man at home.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly. It was just like that. And it was so cool growing up with them. Whenever I'd take class, I'd be like, oh, my gosh, my dad's going to teach. He's going to go harder on me than everybody else because that's what he always wanted to do. He always wanted to make sure he went harder than me because he didn't want the others to think that he was going to take it easy on me just because I was his son.
Yep.
So he always went harder on me. And it was a lot of fun, though.
So he gave you a few extra roundhouse kicks.
Did you ever see The Karate Kid 3?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember how Terry Silver was teaching Daniel?
So your hands were like all bloody?
That's how my dad was as an instructor.
Oh, no.
He would always, like, if I didn't want to do a certain thing, he'd be like, let's do it, you know? Like, he's like, with conviction, you know, and all that stuff, you know? He would get on to me just like that. Whenever I'd watch Karate Kid 3, a lot of people don't like the movie, but I'm like, no, that's some real stuff right there. That's how my dad taught me.
Your dad's like, all right, here's a picture of one of the bullies at school, and he pasted it on a piece of wood and had you hit it.
If I had someone that was bullying me at school, yeah.
Okay.
But now nobody bullied me for sure. That's because everybody at school knew I was in karate and I was in football and all that. So everybody's all like, don't mess with him, you know?
He knows Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and everybody knew who my dad was too. They were like, yeah, his dad's a cool karate guy. So, you know, it was pretty cool going to school and nobody picking on me. So there was that. But he taught me just like in that movie, you know, it was like really hardcore. And I was just like, Dad, I was like, I think you watched too much Karate Kid 3.
Have you watched Cobra Kai?
I have. Great show. I love it. I love that they're not making fun of it. That they're actually putting their heart into it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I got caught up recently and I was like, man, that was fun.
Yeah, I can't wait for season 3. And it being with Netflix, I mean, probably be even better now.
I hope so. It definitely made me buy a course today. The advertising worked.
That's so funny. That's what he drinks throughout the whole show, right, Johnny?
Yeah, he's just pounding them.
Pounded banquets.
So maybe you can clear this up for us. As you have some karate background, it's weird because I'm not really a movie guy. I was more of a music guy growing up, so I know a lot about that stuff. So I don't watch a lot of movies or TV, but I am passionate about Walker Texas Ranger as an entity.
Clearly.
and karate. I mean, I don't know anything about karate, but somehow this show just captivates me. But as we're like three guys who know nothing about karate. Wait, Bob, did you do karate?
No.
All right, so three guys that know nothing about karate.
Okay.
We're tasked with counting the number of roundhouse kicks in each episode. That's something that we have tasked ourselves with, and we're just trying to bring this statistical data to the world via the website. But we don't technically know what a roundhouse kick is.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because everyone thinks that the spin kick is a roundhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
The show, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's amazing to me because of how smart that show is. Because they're a bunch of idiots on that show, right? They're playing a bunch of idiots. There's a part where he goes, I'm going to get this door with a sweet roundhouse. And you're just going to bust in and take whatever we need from there. And so he does a jump spin kick. And every time that he says that, I'm like, that's not a roundhouse. But it fits the show. And I'm like, That's funny. That's funny him saying that. But a roundhouse is basically like if you kick with the left leg, that's like your jab.
Okay.
In boxing terms, basically. The roundhouse is like you turn your hip towards your target and just kick the hell out of the person in front of you with your right leg.
To me, a layperson, it's like, okay, that's just a kick.
It's a kick, but it's supposed to be a very strong kick.
Okay. Can it be called a spinning roundhouse?
It'd be like, what's his name? Ryu from Street Fighter. It'd be like a spinning kick. I mean, you can do that, but...
He also shoots out Harukens, I think.
You just have to use it in the right moment.
All right. So, well, I guess for our statistical purposes, we're doing the spin kick as a roundhouse kick. So we're already off to a bad start here.
We should put an asterisk.
I have not been keeping track of what leg he uses either.
We're going to have to go back and...
I mean, it's false marketing. It's called a roundhouse. He's got to spin around, you know?
Oh, believe me. When I was in karate and, you know, I was starting out, people were like, hit him with the roundhouse. And I'd do a spin kick and, you know, they'd hit me in the chest and I'd be like, I did what you said, you know? Like, no, a roundhouse, man, a roundhouse. So I, too, was always confused back in the day. Yeah, roundhouse is the worst name for that kick.
Man, we're going to have to rethink this whole podcast name, you know? Spin kick roulette.
It's not like Walker doesn't do roundhouses as well.
That's right.
In fact, in our last episode, the one with Mila Kunis, when Trivette is training the kids, he's teaching them how to do kicks. And they do a, quote, roundhouse, but they're not doing a spin kick. They're just kicking the pad.
Right. Yeah.
So... There we go. We got our answer right there, and we just didn't want to hear it.
Yeah. We didn't want to hear it.
Tate Truth, Roundhouse Roulette is actually a good name because whoever gets the bad luck of getting that kick, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Because if you land that kick really well, you're going to do some damage. Mm. You know, I've always said the spin kick is probably the worst kick you can do, especially in a street fight. Because if the other person catches on to it, that you're going to do it, you're going to be in a lot of trouble when you turn around.
Mm.
You know, so I always said never do a spin kick in a street fight unless it's a finish him move, you know?
It's like, and this one's for the policeman's family.
Yeah.
Yeah, he often does the spin kick into a pile of boxes or a plate glass window or through a door.
And yeah, that's the perfect time right there. But a lot of people, you know, like when I've seen a bunch of people fighting, they try to throw the spin kick, you know, especially in tournaments. And I'm like you're going to get hit in the face. You know, you're not throwing it correctly, you know. And that's one thing I always notice about Walker, too, is the fight scenes is sometimes a stunt double of Walker really throws good kicks. Now, the other guys, the bad guys, they need a little bit of work.
Yeah. Like Gary
Busey. That's one thing I always look for.
Well, yeah, thanks for clearing that up for us. We haven't been able to talk to a professional here.
Far from it, man. But seriously, though, a good roundhouse to the face, man, oof, gosh. Yeah, I wouldn't want to play roundhouse roulette with anybody.
Especially Chuck Norris.
Oh, gosh. No, I'd be knocked into tomorrow.
Well, man, thank you so much for hanging out with us, dude.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, you know.
Where can folks catch you guys on the socials and listen to the Talented Slackers?
You can catch us. Really, we do our social media with Twitter. So if you go to @TalentedSlacker, without the S at the end, you'll find us there. You know, I'm the one that's running that profile there. And you can hear us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or whatever podcast. I don't think we're on Spotify. I don't know. But you can hear us on that and catch any of our episodes. You know, just be forewarned. We got pretty foul mouth sometimes.
And how often do you guys pod?
Well, we do it every Sunday. We record, you know, Batman 66 and the movie, whatever movie that we're doing, we record on Sunday. I release the movie on Sunday, and then I release Batman on Wednesday morning.
Okay, awesome.
Wait, today's Wednesday, right?
Yeah, for real.
So I got to release it. I got to release Batman today.
Well, many thanks to all of you out there for joining us for this special edition of Roundhouse Roulette. As always, let us know what you thought on Facebook and Instagram at Roundhouse Roulette and on Twitter at Roundhouse Pod. And be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever the heck you get your fine podcasts. We'll soon be back in your podcast feed, recapping and reviewing yet another action-packed roulette-selected episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. Armando, can you take us out?
All right. Well, may the eyes of the ranger be upon you.
Nailed it. When you're in Texas, look behind you.
Oh, 'cause that's where the ranger's gonna be.